standing at a crossroad, wondering which road you should take. And you're dreading the decision and a possible mistake.
Thank you for that, Karina. Let's stand together, please. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 34. The monitors aren't, I don't know if it's this one or what, but if you could crank up the monitor just a little bit, please, so I can hear myself. Psalm chapter 34. We'll read we'll start in verse 1. Psalm chapter 34. Verse number 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this morning, this time we have together. I pray that in this time that you would help us to get what you have for us, to consider the subject before us. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, this is our stewardship month, and we're coming to the end of it. This is our last Sunday. We'll talk about it. And we've talked the last couple weeks, we talked generally about money, how we're supposed to handle it, what God has says about it, the do's and the don'ts and so forth, because it is a huge issue in our life. We deal with it on a regular basis. We always have talked about there are four major causes of divorce, but a recent study said that the top two, this is one of the top two, finances. So it's a big deal, and so we need to understand about it. As we finish this morning, I want you to consider what we're going to have to say as we get into it. This is not something that we deal with every week. Sometimes when we talk a little about money, people are like, oh, that's all the church ever talks about. That's not true. We don't talk about it all the time. But let me say this, on the flip side, we're not going to ignore it either because the Bible does talk about it. And I know how for myself and my family, following God's principles when it comes to finances has been a huge help in our life. And so we want to just finish up on it today. As we read the verses here in Psalm chapter 34 about David, David is praising the Lord, and he's being specific about all that the Lord has done in his life and what he has seen God do in the lives of others. We see that in these verses, he is thankful for what God has done. And by the way, that's a theme throughout Psalms. Psalms deal a lot with praising God and thanking God for the things which he has done in our life. That is what praising him really is. It's us being aware of what God has done in our life, the good things he has done. We are so often, because we don't think about it, we're not aware of all the good things that God does in our life. And if we're not careful, it causes us to be discontent. And really, at its core, it can cause us to be complainers, and we don't want to be that. Also in these verses, he testifies to what God has done. He is sharing with others what God has done in his life. And that's what testifying is. It's telling other people and sharing with other people the good that God has accomplished in your life and all the good things that God has done in our life so that other people will know that God can do that in their life also. And then he's just being very specific, describing what God has done. Very specifically, God, you've done this and you've done this and you've done this. And that's always what we're supposed to do. But as we get to the end of the chapter here in verse number 8, we see that he ends it by issuing a challenge. The challenge is in verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, the challenge there is him saying, listen, I've experienced all these things. God's been good to me. God's done all these things for me. And I wish that you would experience you in your life and see what God can do for you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Experience his blessings. Experience his provisions in your life. Experience that relationship that we can have with God. That's the challenge. He also, when he gets to the end, he gives them a promise. He said, if you taste and see, you will know that God is good. There's a promise. And he says, blessed is the man that trusts in him. No one that ever trusts God, no one that ever comes to God and sees that God is good ever gets ripped off. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I want us to see another challenge in the Bible. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 this morning. We've looked at some of these verses, but I want you to see the challenge aspect. And then in a few minutes, we're going to be very specific. And I'm going to want us, when we get to the end, I want you to consider a challenge. By the way, if you're visiting with us, you know what? Just bear with us, you know. People that have, maybe you've been here for the last couple of weeks. Hey, where are you? It's like, that's not all we talk about, but I want us to get this. It's very important in your life, and all we ask is that you listen. Give it a hearer. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We've already looked at that. Money is a competing God. Jesus says you can't have two gods in your life, and then he doesn't mention Jesus and Buddha. He doesn't mention this and that. He mentions God and mammon, which is money. Yep. Therefore, I say unto you, verse 25, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and yet for your body, what you shall put on, clothes. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? He says, don't worry about these things. The reason money's an issue is because these are typically the things we get with money. It's about the stuff. He says, listen, don't be overly worried about that. Don't be worried about having your needs met and so forth. And he's going somewhere. Verse 26, behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not. They're not farmers. Neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You say, why did he mention Solomon? Richest man that ever lived. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of them. Now he's made a little he's laid his points out. Don't worry about it. God will take care of you. He takes care of the flowers. He takes care of the grass. He takes care of the animals. And now he's going to tie it up with a challenge. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, the temptation here is for us to trust in our money, to trust in our finances, to make sure we have everything we want, and then some. And we seek to get from money that those things which God, which alone are supposed to come from God. He says, but here's the challenge. Just seek God first. Put him first place in everything that you need shall be added unto you. That's what he's asking us. He's trying to get them to forsake the temptation of trusting in their finances for everything. And I'm not saying let's be irresponsible and throw our money away and give 100% of it away. And God, no, he's saying don't trust in it. That's not where the things of life come from. But trust in the Lord for all your needs. Seek God and his kingdom first. Put the Lord first place in your life. And what you'll find out when you do that is that God will meet your needs. You'll be taken care of. That's the promise. Now, let's look at one more set of verses. Malachi chapter 3. Like, oh, I knew we were going to go there. Bear with me. If this is a tough course for you, come back next week. We'll talk about Jesus, okay, and it'll be good. But I want you to consider this. If money is such a disruptive thing in a person's life, the stress it causes, the debt that comes, all that stuff, and the Bible deals with it, I think we should listen to what the Bible tells us. Amen. Consider it this morning. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 7. Say, where's Malachi? Go to the New Testament, find Matthew, hang a left. Okay? Go back a few pages, you will be there, all right? Malachi chapter 3. We'll start in verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye have gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? So God's saying here, said, listen, you need to get back to obeying me. You need to get back to doing my ordinances, keeping my laws, obeying, doing the things you're supposed to do. And they're like, well, where? Where are we supposed to go back to obeying you? Well, he's going to get a little specific. Verse 8, will a man rob God? That was pretty quick. He got right there. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you up, open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast forth her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. What was the deal that he was telling them? They need to go back to obeying him. And there was one major area where they were struggling in that. And they said, well, where are we supposed to go back to keeping your ordinances, your laws? He goes, tithes and offerings. You're robbing me. Now, in Sunday school class, I don't know if the other classes taught the lesson. I think they were supposed to today. We talked about tithing. Robbing is different than stealing. How many of you have ever had your house broken into? Guess I just live in a bad area. We had it twice one time in a 3-week period. How many of you have ever had your car broken into? How many of you have ever broken into anything? Okay, I see that. Take that picture. We're going to turn you in. Okay? That's stealing. By the way, we have people, it's happened a couple times, someone broke in through here during the day. I remember one summer when we were starting Monterey Park Church, I had a little office right there, and I was out in Monterey Park, and there was no one here, and someone kicked the doors in, and they stole our Mackie speakers. And then, what, it was a year later, year and a half later, they stole them again. I'm like, man, why couldn't we be here when they steal them? I mean, we would talk about Jesus to them right after we broke a couple of their arms. But they stole those things. Come on. But robbing is worse. Robbing would be, I steal directly from him. Give me your wallet. You don't have to, but I give me your money. That's about a dollar, right? Okay? That's robbing. Robbing is taking it personally from the person. That's worse than stealing. God says you're robbing me. Now, when we don't give and we're robbing, robbing is, well, how? Because God's everywhere. God doesn't turn his back and you grabbed it and he didn't see it. I mean, God's everywhere. He's going to know everything that's going on. And he says, you're robbing me. How? Tithes and offerings. And then he gives them a challenge. The challenge is just do what you're supposed to do. Get back to doing what you're supposed to do. Now, in a few minutes we have left, I'm going to look at these three passages, and I just want to give you some general principles from this whole thing about the challenge. Okay? Number one, God issues challenges. God issues challenges. That's what those are. Hey, go do this. It's a challenge. Taste, this is all, the Lord's so wonderful. Go taste and see if the Lord is good. It's a challenge. Look, money is going to be competing God in your life. You're worried about all these things. Here's the challenge. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Challenge. Get back to obeying me. You're robbing me. What? Bring the tithes and offerings. Challenge. God issues challenges. By the way, challenges are not bad things. Challenges stretch us. It helps us to accomplish or experience something we never thought we would. By the way, if you've been a Christian for a while and you're kind of dedicated to God and you've started following his law, following his word, you look back at your life, maybe how it was before you were following God, and you would have think, man, I would never be at this place in my life. Because it stretches us. It gets us to where we never thought we could get to. It motivates us. By the way, some people do respond to challenges, right? There's a famous story of Steve Jobs, who was who used to run Apple. He got the company was growing and they needed a CEO, so he interviewed, it was a bad hire, by the way, he interviewed the guy, I forget his name, I think it was Scully. He was the CEO of Pepsi. And he thought this guy was a guy for a job, and he was trying to get him to come on board. And he was kind of dragging his feet. Finally, Jobs looked at him and said, look, man, you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugar water? Or you want to come help me change the world? And the guy bought into that because it was a challenge. Listen, challenges are motivating. God says, let's do this. Don't just sit on the sideline. Don't just hear about other people that God is good, man. Taste it yourself and see that God is good. respond to the challenge. Challenges help us to grow. On Thursday nights, we've been talking about steps of growth in our faith and where God wants us to be. Listen, when we accept God's challenges, we'll see God do what he said he did, and it helps us to grow as a Christian and get to where God wants us to be. So number one, I want you to see that God issues challenges. Number two, challenges usually come with promises. Promises. God says, here's the challenge. Do this. And then he says, and if you do this, this is what will happen. Here's the good part. Here's the blessing. Here's what comes with it. You will have benefits. By the way, not all the benefits of taking God's challenges are specifically for us. Now, a lot of them are. We take a challenge in our life. We start obeying the scripture, doing what God says. He blesses us, but also allows us to be a help and a blessing to others. Also allows us to be a help and a blessing to our family. By the way, dad and mom, particularly dad, listen, what your family is going to be predicated a lot upon what you are. Oh, church is for the kids. I just kind of hang in there. Christianity, no, it's for the whole family. And when God blesses us and we're following his, that can perpetuate down to others. But God gives us promises. If we taste it, he said earlier, what happens? We experience God's goodness. You know how many people miss out? They kind of see what it is, and they don't really get it. Remember when I went to Bible college? I went to Bible college in Chicago. And how many of you ever been in Chicago? Anybody ever live there? But the Chicago hot dogs are everywhere. By the way, those are going to be in heaven. By the way, how many of you drink Pete's coffee? Pete's coffee is also going to be in the afterlife. It's just not going to be in heaven, the other place. But anyhow, thanks for coming on board with that one. But so I would go to these places. You know, I'm out working there in Chicago, and I go get those hot dogs. And I always see this little sign. It said gyros. And I thought a gyro was another type of a hot dog, so I never ordered it. I remember one time we were going to church, and I had a bus route, and I was bringing these teenagers to church. And I, as a kid, picked this kid up, come to church, and he's eating something. I'm like, man, what is that? He goes, that's a gyro. And I'm like, give me some of that. That looks good. And I taste it. And man, it is good. You know, I cannot find a good gyro out here. They're nothing like the ones in Chicago. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The ones out here are junk. They're like plastic. They're fake. But man, once I ate that, I'm like, we ain't doing the hot dogs anymore. Okay? You go into the place and it has that big slab. I'm getting hungry. You hungry? That big slab of meat that's like, it's spinning around and it's sweating. They get the, it's good. But I wasted 2 years by just thinking it was a hot dog. You know, I wonder how many people, we waste our lives. God is good. Amen. And he says, listen, you're not going to find out unless you actually taste and see that God is good. You're never going to have these things in your life taken care of, these priorities which we sometimes fret about, we concern about, we hoard to make sure it's taken care of. And God says, listen, if you would just put me first. Challenges come with promises. Number three, challenges must be accepted. God doesn't force us to do anything. Sometimes I wish he did. It'd be a lot easier for us. Like, you know, like Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Sounds like he was a wreck. You ever feel like that? That's called living in the flesh. Like, man, I wish I just always did what God said. I'm trying. But God gives us free choice. We have to choose it. God's not going to make us taste and see that he's good. God's not going to make us put him first place in our life. We need to decide that we'll take his challenge and we'll do those things in our life. The easier, safer route seems to think, leave it to the side. Let someone else do that. I want to be over here where it's safe. Let me just say this, throw this at you. Taking God's challenges is not the safe and easy route. That's living without the blessings of God. That's living a life of not being obedient to God. The better life's over here when we accept the challenge. Number four, conditions must be met. In other words, if we're going to get what God wants us to get by accepting his challenge, the challenge comes with conditions that must be met. There's things we have to do in order to fulfill the challenge. Really, a challenge is an invitation to accept and fulfill a certain condition or set of conditions in order to see the promised result. If you want to see that God's good, we have to be proactive. If we want all of our needs to be taken care of and money not to be a god in our life, then we must fulfill the requirement of putting God first. There has to be condition. There's a verse in Proverbs I like. Reminds me of this point. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 35 says, "The desire of the slothful, lazy, killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." He says, here's a lazy person. They're lazy because they won't do what they're supposed to do. They have desires. They have things they want in their life, but that desire is going to kill them, cause frustration, because they won't do what it takes to see it fulfilled. Yeah, I wish I was a Christian that God wanted me to be. What are you doing about it? Nothing. You're going to be frustrated. I wish I was the husband I was supposed to be. That's my desire, to be a good husband and please my wife. Let me just say this. Never going to happen. Just kidding. Well, what are you doing about it to make yourself a better husband? What are you doing about it for God to help you to be a better husband? What are you doing? Nothing. You're going to be frustrated. You'll look back at your life 20 years from now and say, man, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have done this. Conditions must be met, or else we get frustrated. Those who live their lives without accepting challenges end up frustrated by their lack of productivity and really their waste of life. The last thing is this, and you knew we were going to get to this. The Christian's greatest challenge is usually financial. Back in the Old Testament, they had a lot of false gods. Molech, Baal, Ashtaroth, the sun god, you name it, they had them. These were pagans, and those that didn't know the Lord would build these statues, and they would set them out, and they would sit down and worship a piece of stone that they carved into a god, or a piece of wood that they made into a god, and that's what they worshiped. And it competed with God. In the church, and as Christians, we don't necessarily do that. Now, our idol does have an image on it. I was going to say George Washington, but $1 bills, we probably don't. Benjamin Franklin, who else? Who's on the higher end ones? That's about as far as I go. Hamilton? What's Hamilton on? Who's a $10 bill? I never get those. Lincoln? Lincoln's a penny. I have a lot of those. Whatever. Jefferson, we don't sit down and, you know, set it down and, like, you know, we don't do that. But it's the most important thing in our life sometimes. It's everything to us. And we allow it to take energy away from our God. Because of that, God tried to help us out in this area. Look back at verse 10 of Malachi 3. He gives a special promise in Malachi about tithing, which really is not mentioned in any of the other promises. Really in Scripture. Here's what he says. He's telling them to get back to do what they're supposed to do. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. He gives them the reason, that there may be meat in my house to meet the needs of the church. And prove me now therewith. Prove me. Put me to the test. Try me out. I mentioned on many occasions, I used to coach all of our varsity teams here. I coached our football. I coached our basketball. I coached volleyball, girls and the guys. And sometimes we get a new kid in school, and it's like, oh, man, I used to play on my public school team. I'm really good. And I'm like, hey, that's great. We can always use a better player. Because I was like, if we're going to coach, we're going to win. Okay, we're not going to lose. Someone says, oh, you can learn more by losing than you can by winning. Well, then let's go teach. Okay? I'm not going to win. But we're out here and like I'm really good. We get out there and it's like, they got zero skill. Whenever somebody says it, prove it to me. Don't just talk. I want to see it. God's saying, you know what? I'm not just talk. And God says, I think what he's saying, maybe I'm reading a little bit too much into it, but it's really the only place where God says, you put me to the test here. I think he's saying, listen, this is a tough area for you. So I'm going to tell you what to do. Test me. Put me to the test. Then he offers out the blessing. And I'll open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now, I mentioned, look, when we talk about tithing, that's 10%. Mathematically, practically speaking, it's not easier to get by on 90% than it is on 100%. Just in my mind. If someone came to me and said, I'll give you $1,000, I'll give you $900. I'm like, give me the $1,000. I'm not dumb. Okay? But there's a spiritual aspect here. God says, prove me. You'll do better than 90. When I was a new Christian or serving the Lord, I started when I was 17. And I wasn't like your typical 17 because I wasn't in high school anymore. I was actually working, making money. And I just said, you know, I gave my life to the Lord and said, you know, I'm going to be serious about being a Christian. I'm going to do this. And as soon as I did it, I'm like, they didn't teach about it in church. They didn't talk about it, but I'm like, I'm tithing. I don't even know how I knew that. I probably only went to church like 5 times in my life before I ever started going regularly. But I just knew something inside of me. I don't know where I heard it, maybe on Christian television, I don't know. But I just started doing it. And I've done it my whole life. And I just tell you something, from my experience, shock, the Bible's true. I don't regret a penny. I don't. God has always taken care of us and then some. So you ever have tough times in your life? I'll be honest with you. When we were first married, we had tough times. There was times when the money and the bills did not add up. And I could have said, I'm not doing this. I got to buy groceries. I got to pay the rent, blah, blah, blah. But the first cut was always a tithe. And you know what? God always took care of us. And God blessed us because of our faith and took care of us. You say, why, that's shocking. No, it isn't. He said it right here. Prove me. God wants us to have faith in this area that's kind of hard. Mother was trying to teach her little girl about giving, so she gave her $1.25. And she said, now when the offering plate comes by, I want you to give one of those away. You can choose. And she was hoping the little girl would say, you know, I love God. I'm going to give him the dollar. So after church, mother pulls her up and says, well, which one did you give? She goes, I gave the quarter. She goes, why? She goes, well, I was going to give the dollar, but the pastor in church said that God wants us to be joyful, and I realized I'd be more happy if I had the dollar. Aren't we like that, though? Isn't that how we are? We struggle. But for those who accept God's challenge and have done it, there's a confidence in their giving. I don't take the pen when I don't write checks for any of the bills except for really the church. I don't take the pen and grip it hard. Remember a couple weeks ago, if you weren't here, we gave an illustration. There was a guy that wrote a book. He does these certain things, and he'll write about living a certain way. And he wasn't even a Christian. He's really an agnostic. And he lived like a Christian for a year so he could write this book, The Year of Living Biblically. And he realized a couple months in that, oh, man, that means I need to tithe. Now, he didn't give to a church, but he gave to some secular organization. And he said when he gave online, he said, I was going to click the button. He goes, man, my hands were sweating. I was nervous, and I didn't want to do it. And he goes, I clicked it. And this guy even said, he goes, there was something good. I goes, I don't even believe in God. He goes, but when I gave it, I felt God. When we give and we trust the Lord, there's a confidence we get. Reminds me of a man. There was a couple men. They were out on a boat together, and they got caught in a storm, and their boat got on this island. They were stuck on this deserted island. Their boat was messed up, and they had no way back. And so the one guy was just sitting under a tree taking it easy. The other guy was running around looking for food and water, and he was struggling. He came back. He goes, man, he goes, why don't you get up and do something? Don't you realize there's nothing on this island? We're going to die. The guy sat back. He goes, we're not going to die. He goes, why are you so confident? He goes, because I make $100,000 a week. The guy looked at him and said, that's not going to do us any good out here. He goes, you don't understand. I make $100,000 a week and I tithe. My pastor will find me. By the way, if you make $50,000 a week and you get lost, I will find you. Confidence. God tells us in this area to put him to the test and he'll bless you. There was a guy used to pastor here in California, and he had this. Don't get happy. We don't have this, but I'm not that I'm against it. But he would tell people, he'd say, I want you to take a challenge and tithe for, I think his was 6 months. He said, if you tithe for 6 months and you can come back to me and say that God did not bless you, he goes, we'll give you your money back. We keep, now don't come and say, yeah, I make $100,000 a week. No, you don't. But his confidence was in God's word. We don't talk about tithing and all that all the time. But let me say this. If you're a Christian and you're a member of this church, if you struggle with it, I encourage you to take the challenge. God says, prove me now therewith. He says, listen, I'll give you so much blessing from heaven. It's like I got to open the window to get it all out. Let's bow our head for just 1 minute. We're going to do something here in a minute, but I just want to talk to you for a minute. Ushers, if you can get ready with